Yes, ma'am.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Amen. We praise God for being here today in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for being here in Jesus' name. Again, God bless you in Jesus' name. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. We praise God for each and every one of our listeners listening in on today. If you're listening to me right now, you are blessed. And it's not because of the sound of my voice, but if you're hearing me right now, it's because you're in the land of the living. And that's a reason to give God praise on today in Jesus' name. Amen. We are so blessed. Amen. And if you are hearing me, you know it's another wonderful, wonderful beautiful Saturday afternoon, morning, wherever you're listening to me at, in Jesus' name. It's Saturday, y'all. Amen. And it's the weekend, y'all. Amen. I praise God for, first of all, for the Lord Jesus Christ being the head of my life, in Jesus' name, giving honor to the Lord for allowing us to see one more day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So many people went to bed last night and didn't wake up this morning. But I praise God that God allowed us to be the faithful ones that woke up this morning. And not only did we wake up, but we woke up in our right mind. Amen. Good health. Amen. We may not have everything that we want, but I praise God that we have health and life and strength in our bodies. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen, and that's a reason to give God praise on today, amen. Giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, in Jesus' name. Apostle Cook, God bless you, in Jesus' name, and all of the Spirit Alive family in their respective places, ministry, staff, leaders in the gospel, in Jesus' name. Giving honor to my pastor, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and my First Lady Cosette Trotman Tuggle, and co-pastor, in Jesus' name. God bless you and all of the Kingdom Way Apostolic family, in Jesus' name. Yes, at my church, we changed our name. Amen. The Lord led my pastor to have a name change. So we thank God for our new name, Kingdom Way Apostolic. Amen. We praise God for each and every member, in Jesus' name. Amen. On today, we have a very, very powerful topic today. And the Lord dealt with me on this morning about this topic today. Just to give you a little insight on how this topic came about, this week I've been, as I do every day, Monday through Friday, go to work, get up, go to work, and everything. And I was studying the Word of God. I do a lot of studying of the Word of God. Most times when I'm at my job, I get breaks on my job, and usually during my breaks, I'm studying the Word of God. Amen. And I have some of my coworkers ask me, they say, do you ever eat anything? Do you always study in the Bible? And they're like, I always see you studying the Bible. I said, I am eating. Amen. But I praise God. I said, I am. I'm eating right now. I'm either reading the Word of God or I'm praying in my car. So I thank God for that time. I like taking that time out with God. You know, a lot of people try to use their daily lives as an excuse not to have time for God. They use it, well, I got to be at my job and I got to do this. Look, let me tell you something. This is a side note to everybody. Everybody that calls themselves saved, every day you should take time out for the Lord. Every day you should take time out to do two things. Number one, pray. Number two, read the Word of God. I don't care if it's, you might say, well, Minister Adam, I don't have time. I got to work. I got family. I got my children. I got this. I got that. I have a lot of things I have to do and everything. So I really don't have time to do that. But if you make time, you can make time out of your day to spend time with the Lord. It doesn't have to be all. Now, look, the time that we give the Lord, and I guess this is part in the topic today, the time that we give God is not enough. Amen. Because he's done so much for us that we can't even have enough time in the day to give time, enough time to the Lord. Amen. 24 hours isn't even enough. Amen. Even if you wasn't working or didn't have a family and you had all the time in the world, that's still not enough time to give God because he's done so much for us. But on the flip side of that, we have to learn how to take time out for the Lord. Amen. We have to learn to take time out to pray. Prayer is our communication with God. And I've said this before on the show, and I'm being led of the Holy Ghost to say this. Prayer is a very, very vital thing for our walk with Christ. Prayer. Constant prayer and communication with God keeps us stable. Constantly being in the Word of God gives us the knowledge of what God wants from us. Now, I don't know who this is for, but constantly reading the Word of God, constantly talking to the Lord, constantly fasting and praying, these three things. Like I said, this is not the topic, but I guess it goes into it because this is what the Holy Ghost has given me. These three things, prayer, reading the Word, and fasting, are the three main components that you need for your walk with God. Out of praise and worship and giving and all the other stuff that we do, these are the three main important things that we need to do. And I'm going to tell you why. Prayer is communication with God. That is your constant talks with a man. When you're reading the Word of God, that is constant, being in constant knowledge of what God wants from us. Studying the Word of God is constant knowledge of what God wants from you. Understanding God's statutes of him, learning about him. It's just like taking a social studies book or a history book and learning about the history of a country or a nation or whatever you might be learning in school. That's the same thing with the Word of God. Amen. That's why it's so prevalent for us to study. And if you want to know about what's going to take place in the spirit, you have to study the Word of God constantly. It's not just, well, I'll read it for one day and I'm done. No, one day a week. No, you have to constantly stay in the Word of God because God, yes, you might say, well, Minister Adam, and I'll use this as an example. Maybe a very familiar, very big, familiar passage of Scripture is Psalms 23. Minister Adam, I've read Psalms 23 a million times, and I'm still getting the same result. Let me tell you something. Still study Psalms 23.
And I'm using Psalms 23 as an example. But the more you study, the more God gives you knowledge of him, the more God gives you knowledge of what he wants from you. The more you study, the more he gives you. And I hate to use it this way, but the church world nowadays says that God, you know, some pastors and some preachers will tell you, well, God's doing a new thing, God's giving a new revelation and all that stuff. No. The revelation comes from studying the Word of God. When you study the Word of God, when you're studying from Genesis to Revelation, when you study like the book of Revelation, it tells you in the book of Revelation what we're to look forward to in the end times. This is just some of the things that God is allowing us to see about him and about what he's going to do, about what he's allowing to happen. Amen. For example, you know, the praise. Praise is very, 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 very relevant. Amen. In our walk with God. And that's the topic today, by the way. Amen. the importance of praise and worship, because there's a lot of people that don't really know what praise and worship is. They think it's just a shout. They think it's just, you know, if I shout, I'm praising the Lord. Yeah, you might be, but some of these praising these praise warriors, and usually you hear the word prayer warrior, but these praise warriors, supposed to be praise warriors, they shouting just to show off. When you see somebody dancing, they get themselves, you know, they're moving to the flow of the music. I've seen this happen in the church. So this is not something that I'm just, you know, this is not just something that, you know, out of the clear blue sky. This is things that happen in the church. People will shout just because of the sound of the music. People will act like they'll do stuff like that. But you have to be sensitive to the Word of God, and you have to be sensitive to the Spirit to know when it's the Spirit of God and when it's the flesh. Amen. And when you talk about praise and worship, it's a very big key component to what the move of God is happening. How the move of God happens in the church. The praise and the worship of a service is very, very important, because it ushers in the Spirit of God. It ushers in the Spirit of God. Now, if we look in the Word of God, now, and this is to my praise leaders, praise teams, all of them, all of these people that are up there leading praise services and being on the praise team, this is to y'all. You set the flow of the service. Amen. When you are praising the Lord, when a person is praising the Lord, you're ushering in God's presence. And that's very important. This is why it's not a one-man show in the church. Everybody has a job in the church. Everybody. But this is another reason, too. This is another reason why we need to be careful about who we let up there to praise, lead praise service. You have to watch, because there are so many things that could possibly take place. We have to be so careful. The Bible says be careful for nothing. You got to watch the people you let lead praise service, because that will affect the flow of the Holy Ghost. Because God don't dwell in an unclean place. That's why if you're leading praise service, that's why it's good to be in communication with God. It ain't just for preachers. It's good for you to have a good prayer life. It's good for you to have because you're leading people into praise and worship. Now, the difference between praise and worship, there's two differences. There's a big difference between praise and worship. And the difference is that praise, everybody can praise the Lord. From sinner to saint can praise the Lord. From oldest to youngest can praise the Lord. A dog can praise the Lord. Elements praise the Lord. The snow, when the snow falls on the ground, when the sun is shining, they're praising the Lord. But there's an explicit difference when you talk about praise and worship. Praise is a form, a big form of submission and humbling yourself to God. And it's a form of adoration and thanksgiving unto God. Worship is a form of very big submission. Now, I said that praise is a form of submission. It is, but it's more of a thanksgiving type submission. It's more of a saying thank you, more of an acknowledgement to God. But worship is way different because you're tapping into something that not many people can tap into. And when I say many people can't tap into it. If you're not saved, you can't tap into worship. And it talks about that in John chapter 4, verse 24. He who worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to have the spirit and you got to have the truth to be able to worship him. Not everybody can worship God, but everybody can praise the Lord. The Bible lets us know in Psalms 150, verse number 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. So everybody can praise the Lord, but everybody can't worship God. And you might say, well, why can't everybody worship God? Because you have to have the spirit on the inside of you to worship him. He who worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What spirit? The spirit of God. That's just like Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If you don't have his spirit, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if you don't have his spirit, you're none of his. You have to have the spirit of God, and you have to have the spirit and the truth to be able to worship him. Now, praise can lead to that. Amen. And let me show you something. Something that the Holy Ghost showed me. With praise, just because somebody runs around a church, just because somebody's shouting, just because somebody's praising the Lord does not make them saved. Because I hear a lot of people say, I caught the Holy Ghost. You didn't catch it. No. The Spirit of God moved up on you. Might have shook you a little bit, but you didn't catch the Holy Ghost. Because anybody that catches something, they could easily lose it. That's why I'm against people, and I'm against the saying. I'm not against people, but I'm against the saying, I caught the Holy Ghost. You can't catch the Holy Ghost. You got to receive it. The Bible says receive. It didn't say catch. There's a difference. Now, you might say, well, can somebody that praises the Lord, can they receive the Holy Ghost? Yes, they can. If you praise him enough and you're genuine wanting the Holy Ghost and you say, Lord, I want to give up everything for you. I want to give up everything for the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. And you just start praising the Lord will give you the Holy Ghost. Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost. I haven't seen it happen. Now, does that disqualify being baptized in Jesus' name and all that? No, this is not. I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost and then afterwards get baptized. I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost before they got baptized. I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost after they were baptized. It doesn't matter. As long as you do both. Praise and worship are very, very important to our life. And that is why, like some of the, that's why the church that went viral in Atlanta, I forget his name, the pastor's name, I think his name is, it'll come to me. I know his last name, Murphy. His last name is Pastor Murphy. That church in Atlanta that went viral and they were, you know, swag surfing and all that stuff, having worldly music and trying to praise. Let me tell you something. In the midst of praise, this is why praise is so important. Just because, that's why God don't consider everything praise. We're going to break this down today. God does not consider everything that a person does trying to praise him, he doesn't consider it at always praise, especially if you know. Now, for a person that is either newly saved or is a babe in Christ and does not understand, God will accept it. I believe God will accept it. But a person that knows, this is why I hear some pastors or some preachers saying, well, we got to do something to draw the young people. Look, you don't need worldly things. You don't have to bring in worldly things to draw people to your services. You don't need it. You don't need worldly music in your praise services to draw young people. You don't need it. The Bible lets us know that we have our own. We have our own. We don't need the things of the world to be able to praise the Lord. And just because you put Jesus in a song doesn't make it gospel either. Now, I do believe that a person that does not understand and does not know, I believe God will accept their praise because of the fact they don't know, and God will not charge somebody that does not understand and does not know. But if you know, like Pastor Murphy, he knew what he was doing. And I'm going to call it, we're going to call it out today. Anytime you use the world system, and I'm going to say the world system, whether it be music, whether it be whatever, don't you know that the devil can have he mimics everything that God does? Don't you know that? The devil tries to mimic everything that God does, even today, even in today's time, even in the time and age that we are living in. And the Lord showed me something. I hear this word in the world saying there's a saying. And I think I don't know if it started in the NBA. I don't know. I don't know where it started, but I know it started in the sports arena, where they started saying, "Oh, he's the GOAT, she's the GOAT," and whatever. And it made it seem like that being the GOAT was a good thing. It's a good thing because it stands for underneath the world's mindset. It is the greatest of all time. But don't you see, look, I want you to see the deepness of what that means, of what the world sees as that. Don't you know that that's the devil playing tricks with the world? So this is why it's good to study the Word of God. The Bible lets us know that the Lord is the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice for the sins of mankind, right? Why is this word the GOAT being passed around in the world? You got to look at stuff like that. That's why I said It's good for us to study the Word of God. He's mimicking, the devil is mimicking what God does. He's mimicking what God does. A lamb is humble. A goat bucks against whatever authority does. Jesus is the Lamb of God. The devil brings the goat. Makes sense, don't it? And when we see this type of stuff going on, this is why we don't need the world system in the church. We don't need the world's music in the church. God has a church, and it must be holy unto him, not unto me, not unto Apostle Cook, not unto Bishop Carter, not unto this person and that person, but holy unto God. The Bible lets us know in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. I believe it's in First Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where it talks about a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a royal priesthood. We're royal because God is royal. God doesn't just accept anything. If you go before the Queen of England or any person of stature in this world, you don't go before them with just anything. This is why it's so important for us to understand what the importance of praise and worship. We can't just bring just anything before God because God won't accept it. He said, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. What do you think that means? You cannot come before a holy God with just anything, even in praise, even in worship. The importance of praise and worship is very, very important because it sets the tone for the services. It sets the tone for the anointing of God to move in the church and flow in the church. Why do you think that some are coming into the church and they're leaving out the same way? They came in with a pain, they leave out with a pain. No, and it's not like all churches are like this, because all churches are not like this. But there are some churches where people come in and they leave out, either they leave out worse or they leave out with the same thing they came in with. They're not being delivered because of the flow of the Spirit. The Spirit is not right. Because we, as believers, we, as preachers, we have allowed the enemy to just bring in anything. We've allowed unholy men to creep in with spirits that are not the Spirit of God. We're allowing them to lead the praise service. We're allowing them to play the music. We're allowing them to preach. We're allowing them to lead devotions. And we wonder why people are not getting delivered. It's because we are not being wise enough as the people of God. We as the people of God are not being wise enough to know, hey, we got to do something. We got to set the tone. Every person, now I'm going to say this, my first lady said this before, and I see a lot of churches doing this. Before you come to church, there's two things you should do before you come to church. on your way or on your way to church. You should have expectation and you should pray. Those are the two things you should do before you get to the house of God. You should have expectation and you should be talking to God before you step through those doors. Why? Because you are in his presence. You should be in his presence before you get there. The Shekinah glory should be on you before you get there to set the tone of the service, to help set the tone of the service. That's why the Bible says man should always pray. This is why the Bible says be careful for nothing. Because you don't know what people are coming in with. There are people that are out here hurting, looking for relief, and they're coming in with spirits of abuse, spirits of neglect, spirits of pain, physical abuse, emotional abuse, physical pain, emotional pain. And these are spirits that are coming into the church, and they want to be delivered. But we, as the body of Christ, have to learn how to get into the flow of the Spirit, not in the flow of the pastor, not in the flow of the bishop, but in the flow of the Spirit of God. And if we come with expectation, the thought process, the Bible says, such as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you think, okay, I'm just going here just to go because it's my regular weekly duty, you're doing it as a ritual, that's what you're going to get. You ain't going to leave with nothing. But if you come in with a mindset of, I'm expecting God to do something. I'm expecting God to save souls. I'm expecting God. Don't you know that what you think of, that's what's going to happen? And you speak that thing out loud, that's going to happen. We have to think it first and then speak it. And I got scripture to back it up. Amen? But we have to understand some of the reason why the flow of the Spirit is not happening in the church on Sunday mornings or whenever Bible class night, whenever we're supposed to be in a service, the reason why some people are not getting delivered like they should be is because of the flow of the Spirit of God. It's being tainted with. It's being diminished. We have taken praise and turned it into entertainment. We have taken worship, which is worship is submission unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You are in submission of the Spirit of God. Praise is thanking the Spirit of God for doing what it does for us. But worship is submission unto the Spirit of God. Worship is not asking God for anything. It is telling him, look, this is me. And I'm coming to you in submission and humbling myself, telling him how great he is, letting him know that I'm here for you, God, and I submit to your will. I submit to you. I lift my hands up in submission. I bow before you in submission. I'm humbling myself because I want to feel your presence. And that's how people get delivered. That's how we get ex-drug dealers. Uh-huh. We got drug dealers coming into church and they want to be free. That's how we get the ex-drug dealers. That's how we get the ex-prostitutes. That's how we get them. That's how we win them. We're trying to figure out a form of winning young people. Come in with the flow. Come in with the Spirit of God and let them feel the Spirit of the Lord. That's how you win them. Give them what they gave us back in the day. Let them know, and let them know in love, your flesh is out of control. You need to get to our altar. You need to repent. Repent. And after you're done repenting, repent some more. Give them the same thing that they get. This is why we say we don't need all that for all of the entertainment, the lights and the glitz and the glamour and to be able to praise the Lord. We don't need all that. The Lord didn't have that. The Lord didn't have that. The Lord did not say in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he said be a witness, he did not say you needed all that entertainment to be a witness for him. Tell the people, show the people, live it, and let the people see it. That's all they need to do. That's all they need. They don't need all they don't need all that. Let me show y'all something. In the scripture, let me give y'all scripture, because I do not want to say something that's not in the scriptures. Amen. Amen. But I want to show you this. This, if we have the right spirit about us, when we come into the presence of God, if we come in with the mindset that God's going to move, God's going to save, God's going to deliver, we come in with a form of a thought process of God getting ready to do this. We come in with a form of praise and adoration. Come in with a form of talking to the Lord before we get there. Lord, you're great. You're mighty. Ushering the Spirit of the Lord in into where we are when we're driving down the street on the way to the church. Because if we bring him, usher him in, and then our brother and sister ushers him in their life. See, there's a saying that says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. What do you think will happen if I'm over here ushering the Lord in my day? I start my day off and I'm ushering the Lord in. I say, Lord, I welcome you into my day. I welcome you into my day. You take full reign over my day. Whatever you need to do, you do it. I worship you today. I want your Shekinah glory on me all day long. And I'm using this as an example. Say, me, Apostle Cook, all of us, we all going to church together. We all going to church together, and we're going to be in the same service. And if Bishop Cook, she's over here, you know, ushering the Lord in her day, and I'm ushering the Lord in my day, and Apostle Flowers is ushering the Lord in her day, and everybody's ushering in the Lord for their day. And we get to service that night. What do you think is going to happen? Spirit of the Lord is going to be so high when we make it to the church house. The songwriter said, all day long, I've been with Jesus. All day long, I have been with him. It's a good thing to be in his presence. And when you come into the presence of the Lord, when you've been in his presence, when Moses was in the presence of God, it changed the color of his hair. The Shekinah glory, the glow of God. If you sit in God's presence, just sit in his presence for, don't, things will change. There will be a glow on, I don't see it happen. People will look at you and be like, wait a minute, something done changed about that individual. They look like they don't have a care in the world. They don't have a problem in the world. I don't see it happen. I don't see it happen to people. It's done happen to me before. Well, people have looked at me and be like, "What? Yeah, I see the disability, but yet he ain't got a problem, knowing full well I got problems. I'm going through something, but I've been in his presence because I've been worshiping him. I've been honoring him. I've been praising him. I've been reading my word. We do these things because we want the presence of God in the midst of us, anywhere you go, not just in the church, but anywhere you go, you want the presence of God to be there. Amen. In Psalms 22, verse 3, this is why we should have the presence of God in our day, especially on Sunday morning, on Sunday afternoon. When we go into the house of, anytime we go into the house of God, we should have the mindset to have God's presence in that day. And it's not just for Sunday mornings, it's every day. But when we go into his house, we should have expectation. Somebody's going to be affected. May not be you. May not be me, but somebody's going to be affected by this service. So we should do our due diligence to make the service better for that next individual. We should do our due diligence to make sure that the presence of God is there to help somebody, to make sure that somebody gets something out of the service, not just coming in and leaving out the same way you came in or feeling like, well, I ain't getting nothing out of that. Why was I even there? We should do our due diligence to make sure that the presence of God dwells in his own house, because the presence of God has been taken out. It ain't just been taken out of the courtrooms, out of the courthouses. It ain't just been taken out of the schools. Some have taken the Spirit of God out of his own house. And it is wrong for us to pull the presence of God out of God's own house. Some of these churches do not have the Spirit of God in them. But if they're dancing and shouting, that must be the Spirit of God. Don't you know you can dance off of emotion? Some people are dancing just because they think it's... When I saw that video, it looked like a club. It looked like a nightclub. It did. It looked like a nightclub. They doing worldly dances, and not just in the church, but they doing that stuff. They doing that mess at the altar, a sacred place. Back in the Bible days, the high priest couldn't go in unless they were clean. Couldn't even go into the temple of God unless they were clean. As soon as they would hit the temple of God, as soon as they would go in, they would drop dead. Because of the Spirit of God being in that place. Because the Spirit of God was so heavy. And God did not accept just anything. The Spirit of God in a service is so important. That's why it's important to know how important it is for the praise and the worship to be high and in tune with the Spirit of God. The praises and the worship must be in tune with the Spirit of God, not in tune with the pastor, not in tune with Minister Adam, not in tune with Bishop Carver, not in tune with Apostle Cook, in tune with the Spirit of God, in which we should be in tune with the Spirit of God. How do we get in tune with the Spirit of God? By reverencing him before we make it to the house of God. Again, doing our due diligence to make sure that the Spirit of God has been tapped into. Not just getting up there. When you get up there, when a person gets up there to read the scripture, you read it with anointing. We have confused showmanship with the anointing. We have confused talents with the anointing. Because a person has a gift, we think they have an anointing. Uh-uh. The anointing is different from a gift. Gifts and callings come without repentance, the Bible says. But the anointing of God, the Bible says it is the anointing that destroys the very yoke. There's an explicit difference between gifts and anointing. And the only reason why we have tapped into the presence of God is to feel the anointing of God. And the anointing of God, when we talk about praise and worship, that taps us into the anointing of God, which leads to the Shekinah glory of God. That is the anointing. God's anointing, just because you have a ministry, does not mean you have the anointing. Like I said, quoted the scripture, gifts and callings come without repentance. You don't have to repent to have the gift or a calling. You do not have to have, you do not have to repent to preach. But what is your preaching doing if you have no anointing behind what you're doing? If it's not destroying the sin in people's lives, if it's not destroying the things that the devil tries to bring on people's lives, if it's not doing anything, then what are you doing? Well, I'm gonna tell you. The Bible says you are sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. You're a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. You're just quoting off words. Without the anointing, there's no need to even go if there is no anointing behind what we are doing. There's no need for the people to come if there is no anointing. There is no anointing behind what we are doing, behind what we are preaching, behind what we are singing, behind when we dance and shout. There has to be an anointing. The laying on of hands, there has to be an anointing. Because I'm not delivering you. God is delivering you. Yes, yes, we got preachers and teachers and stuff, but it's not us. It's not us. Yes. Yes. Some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. They cannot be drawn without God. God does the increase. God gives the increase. God is the one that fills people with the Holy Ghost. I can't give nobody the Holy Ghost. Bishop Cook can't give nobody the Holy Ghost. Because if I could, I'd be laying hands on everybody I see. But I can't do that. I ain't got the power to. I don't have the authority to. But God does. But he has, this is why we said it is good for us to study the word of God because we study his statutes. We study what he wants from us to tap into the anointing that he has, to receive the Spirit of God that he has for us. Because it is important that whatever God gives to us, that we cherish it, that we protect what God has given us. Because it's very, very important. It's important when it comes from God. Because if it wasn't important, God wouldn't give it to us. Now, in Psalms 22, verse number 3, this is why it's important for us to tap into the anointing before we come to the house of God. Because in Psalms 22, verse 3, it says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." He inhabits the praises of his people. He's moved by the praises of his people. He's moved by the praises. It ushers him in. But if you don't have the right mindset, he ain't coming, because he does not dwell in an unclean place. Amen? In Psalms 150, as we read Psalms 150, verse number 6, it said, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise you the Lord." Right? We see this. Any person can praise the Lord. But what is your mindset? What is your intent? Because some people try to take praise and just give God anything. You can't do that. A person cannot do that. Oh, well, I'm gonna use this beat over here, or I'm gonna use this song over here, put Jesus in it, and then call it praise. You can't do that. We have our own form. We have our own. God has given us our own formula in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. I'm gonna take it above the body of Christ. In the kingdom of God, there is a formula for everything that is done in the church, and everything that is done in the house of God does not require the world system to be involved in it. Now, when I say the world system, I mean the worldly things of the world is not to be involved in it, because it's not considered praise if you involve worldly things to be involved in it. What is it when you put worldly things in it, it becomes profane. It becomes a profane thing. That's why you can't put everything in the house of God. You can't bring every spirit to the house of God because it's holy. That's why the Bible says some people have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Some people just come into the church and they have a form of godliness. They act holy. They shout holy. They look holy, but they deny the power thereof. Their life isn't lined up. If your life is not lined up with your praise, something is wrong. Uh-oh. I'm going to say it again. If your walk with God is not lined up with your praise and your worship, sit down. But the Bible says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise you the Lord." What is your intent of doing that? Because some people get up, some people get, and this is why some people have, this is why some pastors and some leaders have canceled out praise service. Mm-hmm. Testimony service. Because some people don't even know how to testify anymore. You're supposed to be building up the congregation, but you sitting over there telling everything that the devil has done to you, and at the end of it, pray for me and my strength in the Lord. What in the world? What are you doing? You done spent, what, 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes telling everything that the devil's done to you? And then at the end of it, oh, but I know God is able. Pray for me and my strength in the Lord. What? That ain't right. That's not a praise. That's what? You, my former pastor, one of her last sermons, she talked about blessing God, praising the name of Jesus, coming into the house of God, you know, acting dead. Dead and can't hardly make it and giving them long, drawn-out, dead testimonies. But that's not blessing the Lord, because the Bible says in Psalm 34, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. No matter how I feel, I'm gonna bless him. No matter how I feel. You might not have the car you want, but you still need to bless him. You may not have the house you want, but you still need to bless him. You still need to give him praise. Well, Lord, I didn't get the car that I wanted. I ain't even got no car. Why should I pray? The Lord ain't blessed me with nothing new today. What? Yeah, he did. He blessed you with life. He let you breathe. The Bible did not say in Psalms 150, let everything that has breath be, on the whim of me getting a new car, a new house. It said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. It didn't say let everything that get a new, everybody to get a new car. Everybody get a new car, praise the Lord. Everybody get a new house. Everybody get a new this. Everybody get a new that. It didn't say that. It said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Amen. Now, I want to show you something that the Lord showed me. And this is why we cannot use the world's standards in our praise services and even in the service in general. Watch. Let's go to Psalms 137. Psalms 137, verse number 4. This is why we cannot use the world system in the church, because the anointing will not be able to be used. It becomes profane. It becomes strange. When you start using the world's system, trying to draw people to the church, trying to draw the young people, we got to do something to draw them. No. Why are you over there playing Walk It Out, which is a worldly song, trying to get people to praise the Lord? Why? Only thing you doing is you sitting over there building up people's flesh. That's all you doing. You cannot do that. You can't do that. It's strange. It's strange. And it's strange to the Spirit of God, and it becomes profane when you do that. It becomes profane. Look, watch this, and I'm going to show you. In Psalms 137, verse number 4, it says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? When you start, you cannot bring the world system into the church because it becomes strange to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can't move the way that was not the Spirit of God. I don't care, and I'm talking about Pastor Murphy, that video that went viral, all of that, it looked like a nightclub. It looked like a nightclub. Those that saw the video, if you've seen the video, you know what I'm talking about. And then the pastor got on there and said 150 or whatever many souls got saved that night. No, not off that they didn't. They flesh got touched. Just because you seen them moving doesn't mean they got saved. Just because they can't. Look, they'll have the Bible, this is why I said it's good for us to study the Word of God. In the last days, men shall have itching ears. Let's go there. Let's matter of fact, I'm gonna go there. So that we can look at it. Let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." That's verse number 2. What is this saying unto us? This is saying that in the time that we live in, men shall depart from the faith. They're saying, well, we got to get something. We got to give the young people something to draw them because the old school way is not doing it. Look, God does not change. He said, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore." What do you think? He kicked out the money changers out of the temple because they were doing ungodly stuff. He don't change. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16, it says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them." The doctrine of holiness, this is what we need to use. In Jude 1, verse number 3, it says, "Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." That which God has established at the beginning, that's what we need to use. That's what we need to use for our praise and our worship services. That's what we need to use in the word when pastors delivering our preachers delivering the word of God. Holiness. And use the anointing of God. We don't need entertainment. I said it before, we have traded entertainment. We have traded in the anointing for entertainment. And it ain't right. It's not right. It's not right. He said, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not." He said, "Before any tittle of his word become void, heaven and earth will pass away." He does not change. That's why I don't like, me personally, and this is my own personal opinion, I don't like it when people say, well, some of these preachers be saying, "Oh, God's doing a new thing. God gave a new revelation." No, he did not. You a new revelation lie. That is a lie, because any time a person tries to rewrite the truth, it becomes a lie. You cannot rewrite truth. Any person that tries to rewrite truth, that truth now becomes a lie and it becomes profane. It becomes profane doctrine, and it becomes underneath another gospel. And there is no other gospel. If any man preach any other, the Bible says this. This Bible declares it. That any man that preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached, even an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you. Because there is no other gospel. Let him be accursed. This is what the Bible says. This Bible declares that we must be holy. The Bible declares that we must not take part in ungodly things in the house of God. We cannot bring unholy things into the house of God. We can't do it. And we've allowed things to creep in. We've allowed ungodly men, ungodly women that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof to preach, to teach the doctrines of devils. They have crept in unaware. I didn't mean to go here, but this is the way the Lord is taking this. But we have to be on guard. When God tells us, when God has us do something in his house, it is always good for us to seek God first. Solomon did it. In the midst of us doing whatever we're doing in the house of God, we're doing it for God's people. We're doing it for the salvation of God's people, for the deliverance of God's people, for the sinner man. Yeah, God dies for them too. But we're doing it on the basis that they get delivered. Not for a big name, not for fame, not for fortune. We're doing this. We're supposed to be doing it on the basis of God, you deliver, you get the glory. Now watch this. Let's go to 2 Chronicles, because I'm going to show y'all something. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. This is why it's so good for us to seek God first. This is why I said earlier to pray before you go to the house of God. Have two things, expectation and a talk with God to tap into his presence. In 2 Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, don't you know that if we do that and we don't move in the flow of ourselves, that we get that which God has ordained for us and more? Amen. In 2 Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, because I want to show y'all this. I want to show you this in 2 Chronicles of what I'm what we're talking about. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, starting at verse number 7. Hold on, y'all. Let me. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Amen. Amen. This is it. Amen. I'll make sure I was on the right page, y'all. I'm sorry, y'all. All right. And it reads, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast shown great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stain in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David, my father, be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before these people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said unto Solomon, because this was in thy heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of thy enemies, neither yet has asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou must judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there any after thee have the like. After thee have the like. Amen. These verses are saying to us, 2 Chronicles 7 through 12, Solomon made a wise move. This is why we're saying this. Tap into the presence of God before we go into the house of God. Before you leave praise service, before you do all of that, ask God, what is it that I need to do? That's why I said go in there with expectation and go in there seeking the presence of God. Already seeking the presence of God. Establishing the presence of God in your day. When you go to work, go in there with expectation. This is going to be a good day. This is going to be a great day today. The Lord's going to bless me today. The Lord's going to bless my co-workers. We're going to have a good day. It's going to be a good day. And guess what? It's going to be a blessed one. And then speak it into existence in prayer. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding on what to do on your job. Lord, and ask him, because the Bible says in Colossians 3 and 17, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so what can I do for you on my job today? Because I'm here because of you. So ask the Lord, why am I here? I know I'm here to make money for my household. I know I'm here, the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. I know I'm here for that. In my work, what can I do for you in the midst of it? How do I show you off in the midst of me working? In the midst of me sweeping the floor, how do I show you off? While I'm standing there, do I pray in my mind? Do I just tell somebody Jesus loves you? Do I give somebody a hug? Do I give somebody a kind word? Don't have to preach to them. Do I tell somebody my testimony? Telling them your testimony on your lunch break. Even just sometimes just sitting there reading the Word of God during your lunch break. That's how I did it. On the job I have now, I didn't have to say a word. one of my coworkers wants to come to church with me because of my stance for God. Didn't even say nothing. Just up in the break room, minding my own business, reading the Word of God. And then sometimes they catch me outside in my car praying. Had one of my coworkers ask me, well, why do you be going to your car and just sitting there? And I told them, I'm praying. So you read the Word of God sometimes and you pray. Yeah, we don't never see you. We hardly ever see you eat anything on your lunch break. I am eating. I'm eating the Word of God. I'm eating the spiritual. My soul needs to be. My soul needs to be. My soul is hungry. My soul is thirsty. And the Bible says, if a man hunger and thirst after righteousness, he shall be filled. Because that gives me life. That gives me life. We should not be in this for fame or fortune. This is why it's the importance of praise and worship. Also goes into lines of, also go into the lines of the importance of reading the Word of God, of fasting, and of praying. Praise and worship is very, very important because it sets the tone for the service. It sets the tone for the preacher, too. Amen? I pray that you got something out of this in Jesus' name. I pray that it is well with your soul on today. I hope somebody got encouraged today. Amen. Offer worship leaders. It's very, very important for you to have a prayer life and a fasting life. I don't care if you get up there just to pray. I know we were talking about more of the church today and about the role of praise and worship, but there's other roles in the church that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get up there and preach all the time. You may not even be a preacher, but you being a prayer warrior, it's good for you to stay in constant prayer. If you are a prayer warrior, it's good for you to stay in your word because you know what to pray for. You'll know how to pray. The Bible declares it. Amen. For listening to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle on today. We praise God for each and every one of you. We praise God for what God is doing, for what God has done in Jesus' name. Bishop Cook, I praise God for you in Jesus' name. Amen. I praise God for each and every single person of the Spirit Alive family. I praise God for my Spirit Alive family in Jesus' name. I bless you. God bless you all of our listeners. I'm not going to do a Bishop Carver today, but all of our listeners around the world, wherever you're listening to this show and all of our other shows that we have throughout the week, wherever you're listening to me at, in Jesus' name, God bless you. I love you. And stay tuned. Stay tuned to the Spirit Alive Network because we got some great shows coming this year, and we got some great topics coming this year that the Lord has given us in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And as my grandmother used to say, if I don't see you again, I'll see you in the rapture. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you in Jesus' name. Love you all. Have a great weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend. Make sure if you can get out to church tomorrow, go give God some praise. Go give him some praise. I don't care if he hasn't blessed you with a new house or a new car. You got something to give God praise for, even if even if God wakes you up, that's something to give God praise for in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Where it is our privilege and honor. Amen. That you be, and it is our fervent prayer that you be transformed. And also, I want to say before we leave, Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. And this promise, verse 39 says, and this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to see heaven one day, in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name.